This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
My name is Pastor Jason, and thank you for being here at Celebration. Pastor Terry and Karen and the entire team are so thrilled that you chose to be with us this weekend. It is going to be, we believe, life-changing for you and for us moving forward into this year. And I started a message last week entitled, God is Moving Behind the Scenes. And really some good things came out of that. And so then through that, preparing for Easter, I just felt like God really began to add to that. And so we're going to move into that this morning. Someone say it with me. Say, God is moving behind the scenes. All right, so we'll pray and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you today that you speak to us through your word. And Father, through the remainder of this service, do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We thank you that you move up and down every aisle, in and out of every row, that you save, that you heal, you bring deliverance and answers to questions. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sal. Appreciate it. Well, you and I both know that on Easter weekend, people come to church that don't always come to church. And some of you are like, yeah, it's been a long time since I've been up at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I'll tell you right now. And we love it because all of us have a story of where we came from. And I think one thing that's really detrimental in church is that when we come to church, we kind of feel like we got to be perfect and got to have it all together and got to look like we have it all together. When behind the scenes, a bunch of us are falling apart, having issues, stuff going on. And at Celebration, we just think you can take the church mask off because we found out when you come to God just as you are, he'll clean you up, man. And so with that being said, many people who don't know God, or just have an idea of who God is, they stay away from church because they think that they are too bad of a sinner for God to love them and to forgive them. So they stay away from church, and they say things like, if I walk through the doors of a church, it would burn down. See, some of y'all thought that this morning, right? Amazingly, the church is still standing. It's incredible. But come on, how many of you have heard somebody say something like that? I've heard somebody say something like that, and I know places where pimps, prostitutes, murderers, and drug dealers are the pastoral staff now. I didn't say that was here, but if it was, it'd be okay. It'd be okay because God specializes in changing people's lives. He takes the unqualified and qualifies them. And so you got to know that no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've been through, no matter who you think you are, God is good enough to change your life. But some people think, again, if I walk through the doors of a church, it'll burn down because I'm just too far gone. I've made too many mistakes. I've done this for too many years. And so they really fight feelings of shame. And some of that is couched and masked in, I don't need organized religion, and you know, I just don't believe, you know, you need all that. And they get mad and critical at God or the church. But really, it's because they're fighting shame. Come on, somebody. About some of the things that they have entered into. And but what they don't realize is that God's love and mercy is bigger than any sin or number of sin or years of sin that somebody's been in. The Bible says that his mercy and his grace is brand new every single morning. And so, and this is the biggest thing, God loves all of humanity with an everlasting, unconditional love. The Bible says, I feel like preaching just a little bit in here this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm so glad he didn't say you had to be good enough. I'm so glad he didn't say I got to come from a certain part of town. I'm so glad he didn't say I had to be this educated or that educated or have this kind of family or have this color skin or that color skin or, you know, come from this side of town. He didn't say any of that. He said, whosoever believes. And I may not be the smartest. You may be the smartest. I may not be the richest. You may be the richest. But one thing I can do is choose to believe. See, believing levels the playing field because anybody can choose. Someone say choose. Anybody can choose to believe. And so, with that being said, we're going to be talking about God is moving behind the scenes in your life and in my life and in the life of this church. But why should you be confident of God moving behind the scenes to do something good in your life? Why should you be confident? We're going to talk real quickly about three reasons why you should be confident that God is moving behind the scenes to do something good in your life. Number one, someone say number one. Very simply, but one of the biggest foundational pillars in a believer's life needs to be that God is a good God. Come on, don't let this be too simple because every time it should stir us up. That God is a good God. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting." I love this. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know you can experience God's goodness to where you'll have more faith in God's goodness than you do in the devil's badness. No, that's not great English, but you get what I'm saying. Someone say, God is good. I can walk here for a little while. That Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Someone say power. I know you came to an Easter service, but I got news for you. You're going to encounter power this morning because God is not dead, but he's alive. We're getting testimony after testimony after testimony. Pastor, God healed my body. Pastor, I've been set free from an addiction. Pastor, I wanted to kill myself, but God came in and he set me free. Why? Because God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Somebody say good. My God is a good God, and he wants to do good in your family. He wants to do good in your emotions. He wants to do good in your finances. He wants to do good in every area of your life. The good news is God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all. Someone say all. There's no discrimination in Jesus. He healed everybody. Come on. He healed all that were oppressed by the devil. So God is good in healing everybody, and the devil is trying to oppress everybody. Your life is not bad because you're a bad person. Your life is not bad only because you've made mistakes. Your life many times is bad because the devil has been trying to oppress you. But the good news is this Easter morning is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he was setting free back then, he's setting free right now today. Does anybody believe that Jesus can do it again today? Someone say he's good. So we know that he's good, and you come on, you've read the Bible or maybe heard about it, but in the beginning God said, "Let there be light," and then he saw the light and he saw that it was good. And then he said, "Let there be waters, and let them be gathered together in one place, and let there be dry land." And he called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the waters the seas, and he saw that it was good. Yeah. And then he made the grass and the herbs of the field, and then he put a seed inside of every seed that a seed would produce after its own kind. That's why orange seeds don't produce apples, and apple seeds don't produce oranges, and that's why good people don't produce bad people. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but because you produce what you really are. You can't produce what you're not. And that's why I trip out on people saying that God's a bad God and people saying God produced the hurricane. Listen. God is good and there's no darkness in him at all. He is good and only. And so everything that came out of him, he saw it and it was good. The herbs of the sea, the herbs of the field and the grass and the seed producing after its kind, he saw that it was good. Then he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, after our own kind." And he saw that it was good. And then the last thing he said, the Bible says he saw everything that he had made and he saw that it was very good. Because our God is a good God, and you've got to get that established on the inside of you. It doesn't matter. Don't let your experience preach to you louder than what the Bible says to you. God is a good God. And so number one, God is a good God. Number two, we must realize that God is not against us, but that God is for us. If God be for you, who in the world can be against you? So God is for you, not against you. And religion will tell you that God's against you, that he's this ugly, judgmental, hormonal judge up in the, come on somebody, man. My God, some husband said, preach that, pastor, preach that. And he just up there with the gavel of a judge ready to rain down. Wait a second. He's good. And he sent Jesus to die for you, to forgive you of your sins, so that he wouldn't have to judge you, but that the judgment fell on Jesus so we could live a life purified from sin because of what he already did. So God is for you. Number one, God is good. Number two, that God is for you, not against you. And then number three, that God is a loving heavenly Father. Now this is huge. This is huge. That God is a loving heavenly Father. Matthew 7 verse 11, Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Hello, Xbox, PS4. Come on, somebody. My God, the older my kids get, it's like the more expensive they become, man. I was buying them like, Hot Wheels, and now we're buying Xboxes. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, okay, maybe you don't feel my pain. Whatever. Don't judge me. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. So he's a loving heavenly Father. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Someone say, how much more? Will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So God is a loving heavenly Father who gave his most precious gift to us, and that is the Son, Jesus Christ, when he came to be crucified on Calvary 2,000 years ago. So we know that God is moving behind the scenes in your life. Number one, because he is good. Number two, because he is for you. And number three, because he is a loving heavenly Father. If you believe it, somebody say amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean God moving behind the scenes? Well, let me break it down for you. What about the car accident that you didn't get into, that he spared you from, that you didn't even know? What about, because he's moving behind the scenes. You'll get the hang of this in just a second. What about the accident that you did get into that could have been so much worse? If his angels hadn't been working overtime to reposition vehicles and bend the law of physics so that car didn't hit you, but you didn't know God was moving behind the scenes. Yeah. So what about this? What about the raise you got on the job that you thought was because you were sharp and you were slick, but really it was God moving behind the scenes? What about this? What about the dangerous situation that he kept your children out of without you even knowing it? Because God's moving behind the scenes. Somebody ought to go ahead and get excited about it. What about the healing that he brought to your emotions after your heart had been shattered and you didn't know how you were going to make it another day? But he came and said, let me say, peace be still, because God is still moving behind the scenes. Come on. You may not know, but this is not a quiet church. This is a loud church. Because God is moving behind the scenes. How many of you know this? Some of us wouldn't even be here this today. Some of us wouldn't have even made it this far if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. I know you may be facing some problems right now. I know it may be difficult right now. I know you may be having some pain right now. But some of us just need to look back and remember where the Lord has already brought me from. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? I'd probably still be addicted. I'd probably still be depressed. I'd probably still be going under. But if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? Somebody give him praise for moving behind the scenes. Come on, that's an Easter praise. I think we can do better. Somebody praise. You may not know it, but your praise freaks hell out. I mean, they kind of like go into like fits when you praise them, because you're like, wait a second. They're like, wait a second. I just threw depression at them. I just threw addiction at him 6 months ago. I just threw divorce at him. I just threw struggles at him. And they're praising God on a Sunday morning? Sometimes I don't praise him because I feel like everything's okay. Sometimes I praise him because the walls are still standing. And I know that when I shout, walls can still come down. Come on, somebody say yes. Woo. That's good stuff right there. I don't care who you are. Sound like Larry the Cable Guy. That's funny right there. I'm going to talk a little bit about God moving behind the scenes. You remember the story where Jesus, he came to the fig tree, and he was hungry. Man after my own heart. Some of you right now are thinking about the tamales and the tortillas, and if you're white, the ham. Not into ham, never been into ham, don't get it. I'm white, but not that white, I guess. I don't know. I just don't get it. But anyway, it's cured. It's honey ham. Keep your honey ham, baby. I'm going to eat me some enchiladas. I'm married to Puerto Rican. Thank you, Jesus. It's all good. I know my audience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came up to the fig tree and he hungered, and the Bible said that he came expecting to find fruit on the tree. Do you know that Jesus expects you to find fruit on your tree? And he found none. And when Jesus found no fruit on the tree, the Bible said he cursed the fig tree. He said, "Let no man eat of you from hereafter." And yet, when they walked away, the disciples looked at each other and go, I mean, back in, you know, a little bit, he spoke to the storm. That was different. We got in a storm. It was crazy. I was scared. Thought I was going to die. Huh? So I went down. I got Jesus. Jesus, don't you care that we perish? I mean, if Jesus is on the boat, I'm going to go lay down next to Jesus. Because y'all might die, but I got me Jesus. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, don't you care that we perish? He said, "Oh, you of little faith, how long must I bear with you?" Don't judge him, because you and me just the same. Y'all ever been reading the Old Testament? I feel funny in here this morning. Y'all ever been reading the Old Testament and they're like, they set up Asherah poles and begin to worship idols, and then they came back and God granted them repentance, and then they went back to worshiping Asherah poles and idols, and you go, "My God, what's wrong with them, man? Come on, man, get it together." And then something doesn't go right in your life, like, "God, are you real? You're the same people you're reading about in Exodus, man." Y'all judgmental reading the Bible. Well, can't they get it together? I mean, he just split the Red Sea 40 days ago, and now you're crying because you don't like manna? Come on, somebody. Y'all know you judgmental reading them. My God, I wish someone that was a Jesus lover. I wish somebody was spiritual. If I was there, I would have been in travail. You would have travailing for some chickens, what you would have done. Anyhow, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, walked away. And the disciples go, "Well, he spoke to the storm," and I thought that was crazy, but the storm shut up. So the result outweighed the craziness of him speaking to a storm. And he spoke to some other stuff, and now he's talking to trees. So they're like, I wonder if the disciples are like, "Is Jesus okay? Is he okay? Like, has he not eaten in a long time? Is he okay?" And they just looked at each other. "I don't know, bro, but I mean, whatever." And so they walked away. And the Bible says, it looked like nothing happened. Come on, somebody. Have you ever in your life been following God, been believing God, and it looks like nothing is happening? It looks like the problem is not going away. It looks like the pain is not being healed. But yet they walked away and looked like nothing was happening. But 2 days later, they came back. And the Bible says that the fig tree was withered from the roots. God was moving behind the scenes, even though it was under the surface and they could not see it. So just because you can't see it doesn't mean God's not moving. God is moving behind the scenes. One other example of this is when an enemy army came against one of the prophets of God in the Old Testament. His name was Elisha. And so they came and they surrounded his tent because he surrounded his house because he was telling God's people's leader, the king of Israel, where the enemy's army was going to go and try to attack them. And so God just kept his people one step in front of the enemy. And so they found out that Elisha was telling the king what this pagan or enemy king was talking about in his bedchamber. He said, Who is leaking the information of where we're going to try to go attack? And they said, "Nobody." He said, "But Elisha tells the king of Israel the words you speak in your bedroom." And so he went and found Elisha. And so he comes with the army. They're surrounding Elisha. And Elisha comes out, and the servants freaked out. He said, "Master, they're surrounding us. What are we going to do?" And Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened. Because what he didn't know is that it looked like they were surrounded. But what he didn't know was that God was already moving behind the scenes. You may feel this morning like you're surrounded by the enemy. You may not know where the breakthrough or how the breakthrough could come. But what you need to know is just because it looks like you're losing doesn't mean God's not moving behind the scenes. Because the Bible said when his eyes were open, he saw that on the mountains behind this army, there were chariots of fire surrounding the army that was surrounding them. Don't be afraid of the devil that's come against you, because the enemy may come in one way, but he'll flee out from before you seven ways. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. The clock up there tells me that my time is running away, so let's get into it this morning real quickly. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, talking about God moving behind the scenes in your life. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. And it says, "Then as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." Lepers who stood afar off. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy.'" Someone say, "Have mercy." "Have mercy on us." "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went," someone say, "as they went." "As they went, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" I want to pull a couple of things out of this. Number one, they said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Now, mercy may not be a big deal to you until you understand what mercy is. Because the Bible says, all of us, Romans 6:23 and 3:23, says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans chapter 6, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." So if everybody has sinned, and the wages of sin is death, not just dying physically, but separation from God, or you could say eternal punishment in hell. That is the punishment for sin. And you and I were headed there simply because we've sinned. Then mercy becomes a huge, huge deal. See, mercy is when you don't get the negative consequence that you deserve. And I don't know if you've ever experienced mercy, but it's one of the most amazing things that you've ever experienced. When you experience mercy, when you don't get the negative consequence that you deserve. I remember when I was a teenager, I was playing sports. I was pursuing a baseball scholarship that actually became available my senior year. And before this, I was chasing girls and baseball and all the wrong stuff, parties and all that kind of stuff. But I started serving God. I started becoming faithful, and God started really getting a hold of my life. And I was 17 years old, and so I was serving God. I would pray before our games, and people started looking to me, you know, and asking me to pray and asking me to help them in their spiritual walk or in their walk with God. And I was just 17 years old, 18 years old, and so now I'm coming to church every time the doors are open. I'm helping on the worship team. I'm playing the drums. I'm doing this stuff. And I remember one night I wasn't going fast because I was partying. I was going fast because I just finished one of my high school basketball games, and I was flying down 101 trying to get to church for worship practice. And I got pulled over, and I said, "Lord, have mercy." Not really. I was like, "Man, I'm trying to do the right thing. God, forgive me for speeding, but I'm trying to get to worship practice." And so the cop, I'll never forget it, cop looked in, said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Driving." He said, "You know, you're going kind of fast." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm actually going to worship practice." I'm not lying. That's actually where I'm going. It's on San Juan Grade Road. And he just looked at me. And I was going fast. I'm not advocating going fast. And just looked at me, went back to the car, came back. And all of a sudden, I recognized him. I had seen him at a church meeting a year ago. And all of a sudden, he said, okay, you have a good night. You be careful. Don't go so fast. And all of a sudden, I said, wow, mercy. I just experienced mercy. And it feels so good. Because before that, you get pulled over, ticket. I got a ticket pulling right into my school. Everybody watching. Yeah, I'm a thug. What? No, I'm just playing. I'm not. So I experienced mercy. How many of you have ever experienced mercy? Come on, somebody, right? Because we deserve. Someone say, I deserve. See, this is not popular, but according to the Bible, you and I deserve judgment. We deserve eternal punishment. Because God and sin cannot coexist. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He lived a perfect life so that we could follow his example. We've all fallen short. I know so many of us, we have a heart to do the right thing and find ourselves falling short. And I'm grateful that when we are in that place, that his mercy still reaches down and can lift us up to a place. Come on, somebody. Listen, he steps in, and when I should get negative consequences, his mercy keeps me from it. Because, come on, he sees the heart. Come on, aren't you glad about that? Amen. Jesus had mercy on us when he died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He became our substitute. He took our place. He took our punishment. We owed a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus paid the debt that he did not owe. He provided salvation and eternal life for all who would believe on him because he chose to have mercy on us, and I'm grateful for that mercy. Now, this was an incredible thing. Getting back to this story just for a minute, right before we close, these 10 lepers, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, the priest was the one who said you were clean or unclean. If you were clean, you could live in society. If you were unclean, you had to live outside of society. You were an outcast. And so Jesus, seeing them full of sores, leprosy was a terminal disease. There was no cure for it. It was a really aggressive disease. It would eat fingers off. It would eat ears off. It could eat just any part of your body. There were sores. It was a terrible thing, and it was terminal. And so these 10 lepers come to Jesus, and Jesus just said, okay, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't pray for them. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. Can you imagine these 10 lepers walking to the priest in front of everybody, and it could have been miles to get there. And they're walking with maybe toes missing, maybe fingers missing. Come on, you guys catching the story now? Leprous sores, but yet they're walking to the priest by faith. Sometimes you got to start walking even when it doesn't look like God is moving. Just because you can't, they still had the pain. Y'all need to help me here. They still had the pain. They still had the struggle. They still had the symptom. Yet they were walking where Jesus told them to walk. And I have found out that if you choose to walk where Jesus tells you to walk and walk by faith, and then the devil says, what are you doing? This is idiotic. Why are you walking this way? Why are you still going to church? Why are you still reading your Bible? You're still in pain. The situation still hasn't changed. But while they were walking, they didn't know, but God was moving behind the scenes. Because the Bible says, as they walked, they were cleansed. I just need to encourage somebody. Come on, Sylvia. The doctor told you might never walk again. But I came to call the devil a liar and say, Sylvia's already doing CrossFit again. I thought I was in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They told her that she might never walk again, and she's doing CrossFit right now. Somebody give God a praise. Because God is moving behind the scenes. I want to encourage you, if you're still believing and it hasn't happened yet, keep walking by faith. I said, keep walking by faith. Keep putting one foot in front of the other foot. Keep following God. It always pays to follow God. And he was moving behind the scenes. And all of a sudden, this one of the lepers looked down and go, "Woo! We're cooking with peanut oil now. That sore, that was..." Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
what kind of a day that was for this man. He was going to die, terminal disease, sores everywhere, and he looks down, and there's no sore. Has anybody in here ever experienced Jesus coming and touching a part of your life that was giving you great difficulty? And you go, I don't know when it happened. I don't know where it happened. But I'm not depressed anymore. I'm not sad anymore. I'm not sick anymore. Because Jesus set me free. Shoo.
Now listen to this. I wasn't going to go here, but we're going for it. So here we go. He looked down, and before he showed himself to the priest, the other nine just kept walking to the priest. Jesus touched me. Now I got to get to the priest because I got a life to go get back to. That's why you got to watch it if God blesses you financially. Because if he blesses you financially and then you forget about him, I'm just saying, I don't know that blessing will remain. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And so nine of them just left, went on about their business. But this man, before he even went to go show himself to the priest, he returned. He returned to Jesus, and the Bible says he fell at Jesus' feet. And he began to worship and glorify God with a loud voice. I just say, I submit to you, that if you go watch the 49ers, when they score a touchdown, you're not like, that was very nice. That was very nice. Grown men will paint themselves with no shirt on. And that's not side bags. That's love handles, homie. Hanging over, going crazy, shouting to the top of their lungs because Jimmy Garoppolo just got to the Niners and it's going to be a new day. Hallelujah. And I'm about it. I'm a Niners fan. But I'm not going to go shout at a Niners game and not come into the house of God and see him perform miracles and lift my voice with a shout. I wonder if anybody would glorify Jesus with a loud voice. You might shout if you knew what I was about to say. And I know it's Easter, so I'm trying to behave. So Listen, nine of them were cleansed. So that means the leprosy left. But if there was a finger gone, the finger was still gone. The toe was still gone. You ain't dying. You ain't dying of leprosy, but this man that returned and gave Jesus praise. The Bible said not only was he cleansed, but the Bible said after he gave thanks, he was made whole. That means if a finger was gone, the finger got put back. If a toe was gone, the toe got put back. I came to tell you, some of us have learned the secret that when I praise God, stuff gets put back in my life. Joy gets put back. Peace gets put back. Families. Woo! I mean, I feel like praising and I'm preaching. What's going on? It's amazing stuff right there. Someone say he's good. Someone say he's moving. I think this is amazing that they walked by faith and God was moving behind the scenes. And as they're walking, the power of God hits them and they're made whole. Now, let me tell you how this message culminated. And God, I've given you four examples of God moving behind the scenes in Scripture, but I want to give you the greatest example. Let me read it the way that God gave it to me. In John chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, it says this, and Jesus, bearing his cross, went to a place called Golgotha, which in Hebrew means the skull. I think it's just cool typology or a great word picture that Jesus, they put his cross in the middle of the skull. The devil didn't know it, but them putting the cross in the skull, the cross was really the death blow, the spike that went in Satan's head. This is why the Bible says that Satan will bruise Jesus' heel, but Jesus will bruise his. My God. That's crazy. That's for you to take home and chew on later. I'm just telling you right now. That's some stuff right there. And bearing his cross, he went to a place called Golgotha, which for Hebrew is called the skull. And when they crucified Jesus there, beaten beyond and torn beyond recognition, his visage was so scarred and so marred, they could not recognize him. Now listen to this. This is such a bad day. He died a criminal's death. He died a criminal's death, though he had never committed a crime. He took our punishment, even though he had never committed a sin. He died the death of a thief, even though he came to deliver us from those who would steal from us. This is Jesus taking our place. And this is such a sad day. And those that are closest to Jesus, if you can put yourself there, they're weeping. They're weeping. Because Jesus said this. In John 19:20, he said, "It is finished." And he breathed his last breath. And the Bible said then that a Roman soldier shoved a spear in his side, and the remaining blood and water, most of which had already drained from his body, came running down his side. And so it's a dark day. Those that are closest to him are weeping. Darkness comes over the whole place. Those that are closest to him are weeping. Peter, his disciple, one of his main guys, is so low that he quits the ministry altogether. He bombs out of ministry, says, "I'm going back fishing. I'm done with this. My hero has died." And so now it seems like all hope is gone. Hell is throwing a party because it looks like they have won. One day goes by, 2 days go by, and it looks terrible. It looks like it's over. But what many of them didn't know is that God was moving behind the scenes. Because on the cross, Jesus purchased our salvation. The stripes he took on his back purchased our healing from sickness and disease. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And so then, Jesus went down in those 2 days into the corridors of hell and defeated Satan and all of his forces. And he led captivity captive, and he took the keys of death and hell. And on the 3rd day, he rose from the dead with all power in his hand. He died and he was raised so we could have a life and life more abundantly. He was moving behind the scenes, working for you, working for me. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was not raised for himself. He didn't need to die. He died and he was raised on your behalf and on my behalf because we needed a Savior. And on the 3rd day when he rose from the dead, the good news is you rose from the dead with him if you will choose to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Come on, is anybody glad that he was moving behind the scenes? Someone say, believe it.
Believe it.
Declare it.
Declare.
Experience it.
Experience.
Whatever problem's going on in your life, declare. God, I don't know how, but I know you're moving behind the scenes. If it's with your kids, declare, God, you're moving behind the scenes. If it's with your marriage, come on, somebody, declare, God, you're moving behind the scenes. Whatever area you need, you declare God is moving behind the scenes. Never forget this. Believe it, declare it, and I believe you'll experience it. Listen to this.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.